This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Tower number three. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We started the show arguing about baseball. Then we put that aside for a little while. But I think we're going to start fighting again, Bart. But this time, we can have an arbitrator who can kind of help us through this kind of discussion. Because I think we need that. Because you don't listen.
We need a referee. Because you don't listen.
Because you don't listen. You don't listen to reason.
Well, maybe not facts, but I do listen to logic.
Maybe not facts, but I do listen to logic. That's fair. But before we get to all that, I did say it's hour number three.
Oh, yes.
And when it's hour number three, Bart, what does that mean?
Means it's the power hour. But it's even special because we got Buster. So I don't know. It's time to get to the bottom of it.
To get to the bottom of what?
The Mets and the Yankees.
Your hatred?
It's not a hatred. I have a love. Hatred. I have a love for them. Mm. But when it comes between matters of the heart, you know what I'm saying? You don't worry about what. You know, you either with them or against them. And I'm just with the Mets. But all things being considered, if the Mets are out of it, I'm Yankee boy.
Yeah, you're that guy that just roots for the New York team no matter what, which a lot of New York people can't stand.
From New York.
But you're not from New York, so you get away with it. Yes, that is true. Is Buster here with us yet? Did we get him yet? Oh, he is here. Okay, I was stalling, waiting
I've been, you know, I've got my judge garb on, got the wig, got the gavel, ready to arbitrate between the two of you. I would say this to back you up, Art. You know, I went to Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, as you guys know, often gets eliminated non-baseball sports pretty quickly, and then I just root for the other SEC teams, which, if you're in the same conference as Alabama, is a good strategy.
Yeah, that definitely works in the SEC. There's no question about that. Well, we had this whole thing at the start of the show that really was what we were talking about before the show, and it blew up really how we were supposed to open the show, but I digress. And it was, I'm looking at Aaron Judge's performance this year as he's just the best offensive player in the game right now. In the game. Like, the best. And Bart just keeps pushing back, saying, but, and he brings up Pete Alonso. So I went to war. I went to all the other stats you can go to, and he said the only thing that matters is RBI. And I checked, and guess who's leading the league in RBI?
For now. For now.
And then you know what he said, though? Here's what he said, though, Buster. He said, but you know what, though? Whose team has a better record? Who's going to lead his team to a... And I said, wait, you're changing the conversation. So can you at least tell, if we are in the context of what I just said, that we were talking about one thing, and he has moved it on now to, well, who's leading his team to a better record and who's going to be there in the end and all that other stuff. Can we just all agree that Aaron Judge is having the best offensive season in the sport? Is that fair?
Bart, I love you, but it's not even close.
Right?
Like, it's not even close. I think, you know, Pete Alonso to me is going to be, like, top three MVP. You know, Paul Goldschmidt's probably a front runner. Yeah. Austin Riley of the Braves is in the National League conversation. Alonso's in there. He's been terrific. He's become so much a better player than anybody expected. You know, all the teams that passed on him in the draft. That all said, right now, Aaron Judge is at another level. There's a great stat on Baseball Reference called Adjusted OPS Plus, which takes into account, you know, different leagues and you know, it allows you to compare players, you know, play in different ballparks. Aaron Judge's Adjusted OPS Plus is 199. Pete Alonso is 151. And that probably reflects, you know, how, if you were to give truth serum to all 30 general managers, how people in baseball feel about Aaron Judge as an offensive player.
Yeah,
done.
This year when the money's up, let's talk about longevity.
See what he does there, Buster. See what he does? He does the let's talk about. Well, because, but we weren't talking about that.
I say that because Pete Alonso came on our show a friend of the show.
Yeah, he is a friend of the show.
That, and he says the reason why he's one of the best guys, if not the best guys in New York, because he's always available. Now, of course, Aaron Judge is always available. Aaron Judge is always available because there's money on the line this year. Let's check out when you give him that check if his back start hurting because all that money you put in his backpack.
All right, let's leave that alone for now. Let's just for the record, Buster did say I was right. So let's move on to other topics.
He slam dunked on him. Bart, it's not close.
Yes.
It's not close.
Well, Buster, the season's not over.
Posterized
and
you.
Basically what I was saying, Buster.
No.
We can move on.
That's not what you were saying.
I was saying that I can see in a big moment, I can see Pete Alonso coming through and Aaron Judge not because he's a big strikeout guy. I'm just saying Pete Alonso's been – he's been clutch. And it's not over with yet.
Well, the Mets have been that. The Mets have been amazing on infield hits. It's incredible how many infield hits they get.
Yeah, yes, because attitude reflects leadership. Attitude reflects leadership. And Pete Alonso is not selfish because he's not selfish.
All right.
He's trying to make the right baseball play and not swing for the fences because he's trying to catch Roger Maris.
We can do this when we're done. Like, Buster doesn't have to listen to all this.
Can I jump in and give you some perspective from the bench on this about the Mets offense? You guys saw the other day, Spencer Strider, who is probably the number one candidate right now for National League Rookie of the Year, Braves starter, came out and he referred to the Mets, used the word lucky, talking about their offense, because he said, you know, they get a couple of, you know, they get a lot of funky hits. They get high batting average when the ball put in play. You know what? That's how the Mets front office designed their team. Top to bottom, they got a bunch of guys who throw out great at-bats, who will battle a pitcher, who will stress a pitcher, go deep in, and they will make contact. They don't have a lot of power compared to some of the other elite teams in baseball, but man, that the whole issue of them getting a lot of infield hits, that's not an accident. They pick players because of their ability to put the ball in play.
So how did they then, because it's really time at this point to take them very seriously as a contender.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do they compete with the Dodgers? How do they compare with the Dodgers that are the best team in runs scored and the best team in ERA? I mean, that's unbelievable to have those two things going for you. How do the Mets with still 2 months to go, how do they compare to the Dodgers as a team to come out of the National League?
Yeah, it's a stare down. You know, it's Rocky versus Apollo Creed, standing in the middle of the ring, staring each other in the eyes. That's how the Dodgers and the Mets are right now. The Dodgers' offense is gone next level. It was already the best in the National League. Guys, since June 23rd, listen to these numbers. They've outscored their opponents 239-118. They've doubled them. They've lapped them. If this was a NASCAR race, it'd be 50 laps ahead. They're crushing teams. You know, we know what the top of their lineup there, no one is comparable to what they have with Mookie Betts and Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman. And since, you know, Freddie was in Atlanta and worked out, you know, had that closure on his Braves, he's been unbelievable. But now at the bottom of the lineup, you know, Max Muncy was coming back from an elbow injury. He's working his way back. Cody Bellinger, two Oppo home runs on Sunday night. He's working his way back. They have unbelievable depth. The Mets can have the type of offense. They can't, I don't think, go toe-to-toe with them offensively, but they can give them a run. And starting pitching, look, if Jacob DeGrom continues to be what he was the other day, and Max Scherzer, you could beat any team. So I look at these two teams, absolutely, right in the center of the ring, staring each other down. They're the two best teams in the National League, as we speak.
Yeah, you could see that series. Now add to it that they have Scherzer, DeGrom, if DeGrom can hold what he looked like, which is just unhittable the other night. But add to it, though, Edwin Diaz and what he's doing as a closer. Just put that into perspective. And the trumpets and the song and everything else. But honestly, Buster, what they have in Diaz, how can you put that into perspective, what he's become for them?
Okay, and I want to make sure, you know, I think of Mariano Rivera is the Jerry Rice of closers. Like, nobody is going to accomplish in his career what Rivera did. You know, what we're seeing with Diaz right now is better than peak Rivera. Okay, Diaz, in terms of his domination of hitters, he's striking out 60% of the hitters in his last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rivera at his best was not striking out hitters at that rate. He's ridiculous, and there is going to be conversation at the end of this year about whether or not he should be in the Cy Young voting. You know, Zach Britton had the greatest year we've ever seen for a closer in 2016 with the Orioles. He didn't come close. And I think if the voters handle it the same way, and it's about volume of innings, and Diaz probably isn't going to win that, but he's as dominant as the closers we've seen. In recent years, Josh Hader's been that guy. Now it's Edwin Diaz. And let's end this, too. You know, I was there when they started playing Enter Sandman for Mo. The entrance, the excitement level that brings is unprecedented in baseball.
The only thing I've ever seen is Mo Vaughn coming out with that, you know, Wild Thing. When you hit that, when you hit Wild Thing, that's the only thing I've ever seen that even comes.
And it wasn't close. Mo Vaughn.
It was Rick Vaughn.
It was Rick Vaughn.
My bad, Rick Vaughn.
Mo Vaughn had a different entrance.
Rick Vaughn. But in all seriousness, when you think about, you know, I'm concerned about the Yankees because I know that it's important for them to be able to get home field advantage. When you think about the fact that they really struggle to come up with wins in Houston, should it be a cause for concern? And, you know, how do they find their way out of it? Is it just insert Staten and the offense comes back?
Yeah, lessons of 2017, right, and other years. When the Yankees are playing the Astros, they want home field, and they've given up a lot of ground in that race. And now, as you guys know, starting the day, you know, they're tied in the standings, same number of wins, same number of losses, and that's a big deal, I think, especially because the Yankees, I felt like the first half of the year, the reason why that they were performing so well was because their starting pitching was better than everybody expected. It all held together. You know, Luis Severino was making all the starts. Jameson Taillon was pitching really well. Well, Severino's hurt now, and Taillon, you know, has seen regression. Frankie Montas has come over. There's a lot of excitement about what he could do, but he's had some injury issues of late. And the Yankees made a calculated gamble that by getting Harrison Bader, he potentially makes them a better October team than if they had kept Jordan Montgomery. But they also took on risk in making that deal because they cut into the depth of the thinnest part of their team, and that is in the rotation. And that's going to be something they're going to have to overcome down the stretch.
Yeah, that again, Montas' next start is going to be so important, obviously, because that first one was ugly. And Gerrit Cole pitched a lot better last night, but he's had even times where the trust factor is there. And you don't, when is Severino coming back? There's a lot of question marks with that rotation that you were hoping to have a little more confidence. But it's also an issue with them where they're all or nothing with their offense, with runners in scoring position. So what Bart brings up is a great point. This is where the anxiety starts to kick in after a first half that was just one to dream about. Now, of course, the anxiety kicks in about this team, but there's a player that is also playing at a level of superstardom and yet sort of feels like, once again, won't be part of anything in October. That's Shohei Ohtani. And I mean, Buster, the fact that everything he does is always compared to Babe Ruth. 10 home runs, 10 wins, like that's never been done before. You know, like just stuff like that. It feels like he should be such a bigger part of the baseball conversation, yet his team is not good. Just like Mike Trout, won't be there when baseball's watched the most, which is in October.
You're 100% right.
Is he reaching a point of, I need to get out of here? Because if I'm his agent, I'm thinking this guy should be a way bigger star than he is.
Yeah, and I think that that's why over the next year and a half, all the conversation is not going to be about what Ohtani's going to accomplish for the Angels and, you know, MVP, et cetera. It's going to be about where is he going to land next. I can tell you that there's an anticipation with other teams that Ohtani is going to land someplace else. What I expect is going to happen is that this offseason, you know, early in the winter, the Angels are going to take a run at him. They're going to offer him a contract. Let's face it, you know, given the fact that Max Scherzer is making $43 million a year, yeah, Ohtani's contract probably will start, annual salary will start with a number 5.
Wow.
$50 million a year. You know, I don't know if the Angels will offer that. I think that one way or the other, Ohtani's going to get paid that. I would not be surprised if he turns it down since he's a year from free agency, and then everybody, the question will be, will some team trade for him and then try to sign him like the Dodgers did with Betts and like the Mets did with Lindor, or will they wait until next summer, hope that they can compete and take a run at him in free agency in the fall of 2023? But just you know, a lot of people are, you know, one source removed really believe that he's in his last months with his Angels this year and next year.
That's amazing. Now, I know there was some talk about teams calling the Angels right at the trade deadline this year about.
Oh yeah.
And the Angels were saying
called,
no.
And, you know, the White Sox were among the teams that offered something. But every time when we talk about, you know, each of these teams, we always have to introduce the X factor, and that is the owner. You know, Artie Moreno was the one who went over the head of his, which is his right to do, and signed Albert Pujols and signed Josh Hamilton and signed Anthony Rendon. And in talking with people who know Artie, they feel like there's no chance that because he likes shiny objects that he will just simply, you know, walk away from Ohtani anytime sooner, will willingly trade him, you know. But I do think that at some point they're going to have to listen. If they get the sense that Ohtani's going to go into free agency, they have to take advantage of his value. And and there certainly would be teams lined up, especially this winter, willing to flip a lot of assets for a guy whose production, because he plays a two-way player, is unmatched.
Yes. And you know, and you think about it just in sports in general, right, Buster? It's very rare now that there is a player of this caliber on a team that bad, right? It's just you don't see it anymore because, like, in the NBA, that player finds his way out. Like, he'll get traded. He'll go somewhere, or the team makes moves to put a talent around him, and at least the league is getting something out of that player in a playoff level. And the closest comparison I can have, and I don't know if you follow hockey, is Connor McDavid. Like, it's the closest comparison I have is somebody that is the best player, like one of the best talents in the sport, and just nobody sees him because he's in Edmonton, right? And that's something that I see with this. And if I'm Rob Manfred, if I'm the league, if I'm owners, I'm like, we got to get this guy at a place where it sells the league because he's so much fun to watch, and he's so talented, he's young, and it's something very unique. So we'll see.
Yeah, the one thing I'd say about that is, yes, I'm sure that there probably are people in Major League Baseball privately rooting for Ohtani to get into a place of more prominence because he is the sport, and I'll say it again, the shiniest object. He is, you know, he transcends the sport in a way that other players don't. But keep in mind that unlike the NBA and unlike the NFL, I think that when we look at Major League Baseball, it is so much more a confederation of individual businesses.
Okay.
Like, there's nobody in the central office pulling these strings. You know, if you were to rank the commissioners by pure power, I probably would have him below the other three in terms of what he actually can affect, what the central office can affect. You know, I think that the teams are, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do, and everybody in the sport wrings their hands over how the Angels are run and how Artie runs them, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, yeah, that part I certainly get. Buster, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you for, again, presiding over the debate between Bart and I. We can at least put that one to rest. All the best, man.
Bart, you got to pay damages on top of that, okay?
Yes!
I think I got to, even for engaging in that sort of argument, you got to buy him dinner or something like that.
Love it.
Tell me that in September.
That's a different conversation, and certainly we'll have it with Buster. Thanks, man.
See you guys.
All right. That's Buster Olney, of course, the best. And the fact that he puts up with us makes him even more of the best. It's Barton on ESPN Radio. It is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.
Shohei drives the ball deep out into right field, and this one is out of here.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Bart, I just want to jump off of the Ohtani conversation that Buster said there, because it is really interesting. The fact that the whole league feels like he's going to be somewhere else when he is a free agent in a year and a half, right?
Yep.
But also that the Angels, because of their owner, is not necessarily going to, you know, think, all right, we're going to lose him, so let's get what we can for him while we can. Because they might be stubborn enough to think that they can sign him.
Right.
And he said at the end of this year, probably in the winter, they will try to get him to sign an extension to keep him there long term.
Nah.
If you're Shohei Ohtani, you got to get out of there, don't you?
I don't see it. He sees Mike Trout wasting his, like, the example of Christmas future is right in front of his face. Like, Mike Trout has never played a meaningful game. I can't remember the last time he's played a meaningful game in the postseason. So, I mean, if I'm Ohtani, which is different, you know, he hasn't signed that long extension. He has an opportunity. To me, the elephant in the room is he willing and able to step away from Los Angeles geographically? That's what I want to know. Is he?
You mean because it's not as close to home for him?
Exactly. Is he willing to go to the White Sox? Is he willing to go to the Mets? Is he willing to go San Diego's same place, but that's what I need to know, because that opens the gamble for bidding.
If you're the Dodgers.
Dodgers can't have everything, man.
Yeah, but if you're how huge of a star would he be playing for the Dodgers? He's in L.A., so he stays pretty much right where he needs to be. To me, if that's the case, if the West Coast is important to him because of its, obviously, it's just, short flight.
Close to Asia.
Yeah, over the Pacific Ocean to Japan. If that's what you want to be, the Dodgers make the most sense. You're talking about a major market, and Anaheim, well, it's only a couple minutes away. Yeah, but Anaheim might as well be a world away from L.A. That's just a reality. You put him in L.A., you put him on the Dodgers. He's a megastar. And they're already a team that wins. They're always on the big big marquee games. They're all the time. They're that team. An established franchise, been around forever. They're a brand, a trademark. They're all of that. That's the best place he could go.
It's Giants, maybe.
The San Francisco Giants, another great option. Another great option. Right, those are places that you look at, but I still say the Dodgers are the bigger for him.
I don't know if he wants that. That's what I'm saying. Because if he wanted that, he would have came to the Yankees, or he could have went to the Dodgers to begin with. Coming over here,
you want to get? I don't know if the Dodgers were in on that at the time. It's bottom line is for him. It's now paid beyond what you're getting paid for on the field.
Yeah.
Because now you heard Buster. Can you imagine $50 million?
We knew it was going to be 50. He's two players.
$50 million, Buck.
He's two players.
$50 million.
Who do you think he is? Aaron Rodgers?
In a year.
Who do you think he is? Aaron? He can't host Jeopardy.
What world have we gotten into where there's athletes making $50 million for one year?
I was born too early.
You think so, right?
Yeah. If I was born 10 years later, I've been straight.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. A full weekend of NFL preseason. We finally get to some real games. It kicks tomorrow. One division has a ton of questions. We're going to get to that next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We don't sweat the technique. We also think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you could trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. See, I hate talking over Akim like that, but, we got to get business done. That's what we got to do. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number for your calls, which we will get back to here in a moment. Bart, we do have games that begin in the preseason, week one of the preseason. Tomorrow, as you heard Ninko talking about earlier in the show, he's looking forward to seeing the Patriots. They play the Giants.
Yeah, this is
That's one of again, several games. But, again, for the Patriots side of things, they're trying to figure things out offensively. On the Giants side of things, they're trying to figure out a lot, which includes, is Daniel Jones their guy? And they need to know this by the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they've got weapons.
Tony's is a rising star. He may be the next Tyreek Hill.
Or will it be Wandale Robinson, who they drafted out of Kentucky, who's a phenomenal talent? He might be more of he's 5'8", fast as hell, very versatile, and Tony could be a guy that you know, maybe they decide. Like you can't really use both.
This dude had 186 yards against Dallas, was putting on a damn show.
Maybe Dallas should finish the game. Come get him.
That dude is a beast. He's like a Percy Harvin, man. He just needs to figure out. He just needs to figure out that he's not a rapper. He has all the time to be a rapper. All the guys that wanted to rap are watching, you know, Life's a Gamble. Didn't work out for Le'Veon Bell. So go ahead and just worry about football first before you worry about what you're putting on wax in the ones and twos. You know what I'm saying? But I tell you what, he is a talented player, man. If he can stay healthy, this dude is explosive. Listen, he's to me, and it pains me to say it, I'll take him over Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore?
This dude is special, man. This dude's special, too.
Elijah Moore is special. There's no doubt about it. But, again, the weapons that the Giants have, Slayton.
Galladay.
Yeah. I mean, they've got.
Saquon.
Saquon's the other one to watch. So when you look at the NFC East, and we've talked all about, by the way, the Eagles are everyone's favorite to win that division. And Jalen Hurts has played very well so far in training camp. Now, we'll get to see him probably for a series or two against the Jets on Friday night when they start, when they begin their preseason action. And we'll figure out, you know, again, pretty quickly, Jason Kelce has an elbow. They do think he'll be back in time to start the season. But that's like your only concern, right? They have their defense is really good. Their offensive line is solid, especially with Kelce. And then, you know, they have weapons with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is the biggest question mark for that team.
Yeah.
But that division,
Devonta Smith, they had the best offensive line in the business.
Right. And then, of course, the A.J. Brown. But that division, for me, is out of all the divisions, would you say that's the one most up for grabs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I wouldn't be surprised maybe if Washington, if Carson Wentz can go back to his MVP form or just something close to it.
They got
Gibson.
Yet.
They have Gibson. They have the probably the most talented defensive line per beta. You know, you go down 1-4, probably the best defensive line in all of football. You know, they have weapons on the outside. You got to love McLaurin. And you got to love the guy – I forgot they got from Carolina the year before that was injured the entire year. And the question is, you know, so, like, you go down the line. Everybody can make a case if people play up to their potential.
Now, the AFC West is, when you say up for grabs, yeah, that's going to be a very competitive division. Anyone can win
it. Curtis Samuel, by the way, and they drafted Deshaun Dotson from Penn State, who has – been electrifying, and they have Logan Thomas as well at tight end. They got weapons over there.
Mm-hmm. It's all about whether or not Carson Wentz can be accurate and then, of course, reliable, which are the two things that he really wasn't last year with the Colts, especially late in the season. But while the AFC West is one that anyone can win this division, the NFC East is, in a different way, the same thing. Wouldn't you say? I mean, the Cowboys are not as good as they were last year on paper. The wide receiver room is not as obviously as stacked as it was last year.
Offensive line isn't.
Offensive line, it continues. Like, it hasn't gotten younger. Defensively, they lost some pieces. Michael Parsons is going to have to do everything for them defensively. Yeah, and then, of course, Mike McCarthy's under fire. As you know, everybody's going to be waiting for that to happen. If they get off to a slow start or struggle at all, they're asking Dak Prescott to be an MVP for them to be a really good team this year, right? A true contender. He'd have to be an MVP. He'd have to play out of his mind. So, other than the Giants, who kind of you're looking at them and you think, this is a first year, you know, Daboll is the first year there.
Nah,
a new system.
I'm not saying that.
You're not saying that, huh? You think see, I don't get this.
No, man. This is a talented football team, man. If Evan Neal can be that right side bruiser, did you see what he's doing to defenders on the edge, throwing them through the club? Now you got both of your edges secure, and now you have, like, even defensively, man, they have
Thibodeau. All right, what's the X factor then? All right, so Jalen Hurts is the X factor for the Eagles. Is Micah Parsons the X factor for the Cowboys, or is it Dak?
He has to be.
Right, don't explain it. Just tell me which one. Is it Dak, or is it Micah Parsons?
It's Micah Parsons because he has to fill in for Randy Gregory. They're kicking the tires on Anthony Barr, who shunned the Jets a couple of years ago.
I remember that.
So now that just lets you know that they're not really confident with their replacements that they tried to replace Barr with Fowler, who's first-round bust, who's left Jacksonville and was with in Atlanta, didn't live up to expectations there either.
All right, so we'll say that for the Cowboys. For Washington, it has to be Wentz, the X-factor. Has to be.
Yeah.
All right, if it's that, for the Giants, is it Saquon?
Saquon Barkley.
All right.
He has to be Saquon Barkley. So his rookie year, over 2,000 yards of total offense. He has to be that guy.
Can he be that guy coming off these injuries? I mean, is there a belief that that he can still look? And he talk about a guy playing for his career,
money on the line. Yeah, that's
I mean, he's
what
playing
saying.
For it right now. Like he's got to give you that season. And the Giants have a major decision to make on him. You know they're going to have to use him. But as you mentioned, I mean, Tony is a guy you can use in a lot of different situations offensively. I think Wandell Robinson is a guy you can do that with as well. They're Kenny both
Galladay,
extremely
and
young.
And Sterling Shepard. Like, he got paid. He's a veteran. Yeah. He's like in his sixth year, seventh year. He's a Juju Smith-Schuster type of guy. He's a guy that can play inside, outside. You got Tony. They have three very good receiving options.
But
Slayton's
I think
a vertical threat.
I think Tony and Robinson take – and Saquon especially, take Daniel Jones out of the equation as somebody that has to be the centerpiece of the offense, don't you think? Let those guys be playmakers more than him.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, just be a game manager. All right, I get that. But the question is, can he be? All right, Saquon is. So Saquon's the guy. So if the Giants are going to have a season that's going to be better than what most people think it will be, which you're one of the few outliers who think they could be a good team this year. Not many people think they can.
They got two top five picks at tackle.
Yep.
And the other one figured it out, and I think that
late last
Evan
year,
Neal is going to, and I think Evan Neal is going to not going to struggle coming out. He's going to have a Tristan Wirfs type of season his first year.
Okay. So you aren't as down on the Giants as everybody else. This feels like a transition year for the Giants where they have to figure out, is this the quarterback of our future, or do we have to find one, whether it's in the draft elsewhere?
They have no salary cap space because they have players on their team. Just look at what they have on their defensive line. They basically have three guys that were picked in the top 10. Mm-hmm. When you think about Leonard Williams, think about Dexter Lawrence, you think about Thibodeau, and Azeez Ojulari was supposed to be that, but they had concerns about his knee coming from Georgia. He had nine sacks last year. What are we talking about? We're talking about a NASCAR package that they haven't had in a long, long time there. But, man, do they have talent on that side of the ball. Now, it's not depth. They don't have depth of talent, but they have talent at the top end of this roster. Right? Now, they had to lose some people, but you talk about Adoree Jackson still being there to be able to man up. They have a good lockdown corner. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it's time for Julian Love to step up. Right? And then they struggle in the secondary. That's what I say their biggest hole is. But they still went and got Blake Martinez, who's coming off an injury. Mm-hmm. He should be okay.
Tackle machine.
Exactly. Let's see if Crowder, if they can be good. But that they should be led by their defensive line.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. Especially, I love the pick of Thibodeau. You and I both loved him. So we'll see how that certainly turns out. But that NFC East is, like I said, the AFC West, everybody talks about that division. NFC East is not as far as a power division with teams that are going to be contenders. But this is a division where you're like, you could take any one of these teams. Now, the Eagles are the favorite. Everybody loves them. But you could kind of argue that any one of these teams can win this division. Could be a very competitive division. We shall see. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Spartan Han, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Get renter's insurance to protect things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. Visit Progressive.com. We finish up with your calls. It's Spartan Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Spartan Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Fred's in Maine, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I just had a question for you guys about the young tight end, the Giants signed Andre Miller from Maine. I know he's changing positions from wide receiver to tight end, and just where you guys thought he might land. I know he just broke his wrist in practice.
He broke his arm. Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah, and he was
Andre Miller,
undrafted free agent. I know
they brought him in, and he actually they loved him. He looked really good, and then unfortunately he gets hurt. So I mean, that, you know, when that happens, you know, he can't play.
I mean, with broken wrist, that doesn't mean it's a year, you know. So maybe
put you on injured reserve though.
Yeah, they'll put him on a PUP list. Yeah, for like the first eight games, and they'll reevaluate. You know, they can put him on the PUP list that way.
Yeah, I mean, but again, Daboll loved him. was raving about him. So, I mean, you know, remember, if they like what he can be, they'll keep him around. I mean, that's essentially what you do there. But, I mean, this is what I hate about preseason, though, all the injuries and everything.
That's the thing. The first week is the most dangerous time. You know, you're going to lose some. Somebody's going to lose somebody in preseason during the preseason games. That's why a lot of these teams now, you look at the Rams, none of their starters really even play. They don't even step out there. They don't even play around with it. It used to be one series and you can you know, be good. They're like, nah, we good.
Well, that's when you're established. But like, what we're going to see, like from the Giants, Daniel Jones has to play, right?
Well,
like when you play, no, dude, when you play preseason, he's got to play.
Well,
he's got to play.
Well, this is week one. So week one, you might see them out there for ten snaps. Like, because what they'll do is they'll
make. You don't think he'll get one? He don't think like the first two series maybe, and that's it.
That should be like 10, because most of the time it's three and out, whatever. You might get a couple first downs, but usually what they want to do is they'll make the ones really get their work in a controlled environment in practice. So they'll make them go like in a semi live period to get their pad set. It'd be pretty much about, you know, Tyrod Taylor proving that he can be a great backup and potentially push Daniel Jones for the starting spot.
Yeah, that's certainly what it is. The Tyrod Taylor backup thing.
He'll get chess work.
Davis Webb will play
people
a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but it's against the Patriots. And, you know, again, the Patriots.
Well, they're not the Big Bad Wolves no more.
But their defense has been beating up their own offense.
Yeah, but that's easy to do because their offense don't know what the hell they're doing right now. I mean, when you look out there, it's no more McCourty's. There's no more Jamie Collins. There's no more Hightower out there bouncing people around.
Yeah. All right. More on this. We're back in 10 seconds.
Meh.
Bart and Han.
Your butt is mine. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. Don't show your
you ain't butt. Bad. You ain't nothing.
You ain't nothing, man. You ain't nothing.
Who was in this video? Was Wesley Snipes in this video?
I don't know.
Wasn't it Wesley Snipes?
He could have been, but he's so dark I couldn't see him.
Stop. There's a scene where, you know, when Michael just flips out and does the whole, you ain't bad, you ain't bad,
you ain't nothing. Like,
he gets so mad. I'm thinking, I can't remember, I think it's Wesley Snipes, how he's not cracking up, just like bursting into laughter, right? Like, how many takes did that take?
Like, bro, you 110 pounds, and you ain't Bruce Lee. I will knock your club off.
Right, exactly.
You ain't bad, you ain't nothing. I will punch a hole through your chest. Knock all the Jerry Curl juice out your head, and you'll be trying to call Daryl from Coming to America to come spray you up with some of his soul glow. Because I'm going to knock the activator out.
Oh, my God. Bart, here's a sign of the generations. You see this Pirates infielder, this Pirates player?
Yeah, man.
Sliding into third, and he had his phone in his pocket.
And then it was like, it damn near was when an I iPad. Look how big it was.
I know, yeah. Well, he had like the iPhone 13
Plus. He had the Plus.
Plus. Yes. So, but the thing is, here's the thing, though. He slides into third, phone pops. He had no idea it falls out, right?
Yeah, I'd be like, dang, but nice.
The first thing I'm thinking before, of course, what do we want to do? Let's not criticize. Let's get the whole story. Let's make sure we know what's going on here.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what I'm thinking. His wife's probably pregnant. He's got the phone in the dugout. Any moment now she's going to have the baby. I just want to, you know, hit me up and I got to leave.
Nah, he's a monk.
No, that's not the story at all. Apparently the story is, now it's through so it's Rodolfo Castro. And it's through an interpreter. That he says, he talks about how embarrassed he was, but he explained through an interpreter that he had the phone before the game on him, had something, put his uniform on, had something to eat, went to the bathroom, which we all know everybody goes in the bathroom. What do you do?
Yeah.
You go on your phone, you scroll.
He's taking
and then he said he put his sliding glove, you know, the oven mitt, put it in his back pocket and just forgot it was there. That phone's too big to forget. Like, what if it starts buzzing? What, you just used to your butt buzzing like that?
I mean, you never know nowadays.
So we asked Renee, because I'm like, all right, that's through an interpreter. That can't be the true story. So we asked Renee Lactavius to listen to the interview.
Our Rosetta Stone.
And Renee, when you listen to the interview, BS translator, is that really the story?
That is affirmative.
That sucks.
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you what.
You just make it up?
Tell us what he said. That's how we fact check. Say it in Spanish. Just the first
one. You want me to say it in Spanish? I don't remember word for word what he said.
Yeah, but just
paraphrase.
Well,
that was your job. What do you mean you don't remember?
Yeah,
we asked you. This was your assignment.
And I translated it for you.
But say it so the people can hear.
Right. Do it for the listeners.
So you want me to say it in Spanish, though?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What's his name? Rodolfo Castro.
Mm-hmm.
Dijo que se había cambiado, se le había olvidado el teléfono, que se lo había puesto en el bolsillo de atrás, fue a comer, fue a usar el baño, y se olvidó. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to our Hispanic listeners. You know what I'm saying? We love you guys too, man. Sometimes we might just translate to you so you can listen to the show in your native tongue. You know what I'm saying? That's how much we love our peoples.
And you know what I'm saying?
And that's fact checking.
Right, he fact checked, which is important. But you know what I say to that answer?
Man.
Wrong. No way. No way. That's the truth.
That's what he told me.
He's scrolling in the dugout. Be honest.
Is there any video of him swiping right? He could have been trying to go on Tinder and get somebody. Baseball players.
Remember, A-Rod got digits during a game once.
Yeah.
You going to tell me that Castro wasn't
he was swiping right.
Maybe. You know? Checking the snap mat.
What's that
map,
new thing?
Seeing who's snap map. All right, who's in the building? Oh, okay.
No, what's that new? It's a new app out or something
there
like
is?
That. It's called Arrangements or something like that, where you make arrangements.
Arrangements?
Yeah, it's called Arrangements, man.
That sounds really creepy.
Don't ever say that around your wife, man.
That Arrangements. That's the name of the app?
Instant shot to the juggler. Yeah. it's whatever arrangement you want to make.
Arrangements. Yeah, we got an app called Relations. That's what it's about.
We got one called.
Man, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.